It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, Internet. It's me, your pal, Lane Mitchell. Thanks so much for downloading the 242nd edition of the podcast. Something really special this week. We've got UK band Bastille performing live acoustic. Yeah, nice little stripped-down set in the Booster Juice Listener Lounge. That and highlights from the past week's shows. But I'll warn you, too, we've got some incredible Sonic sessions over the next little bit here. A band called The Neighborhood, who you might know, they're going to be performing. Ruben and the Dark, Young the Giant, and others. You want to keep on top of stuff happening on the show? Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Laneroo, LayneRoo, or, of course, on Facebook. Thanks for downloading.
Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Noah opened in theaters this past weekend. Great film. I like to think I'm the kind of guy, though, that's not easily influenced by movies. That said, though, my wife and I went to see The Galaxy, came back to our seats, and what did I buy for snacks? Two popcorn, two Cokes, two bags of M&Ms. I grabbed two of everything. Yeah, curse you, Russell Crowe. Curse you. And did you watch the season finale of Walking Dead last night? You certainly weren't alone. Millions tuned in for the affair. About 5 years ago, I predicted that zombies would be the new vampire. Turns out I was right. So I feel like it's time to once again forecast another cultural zeitgeist. Sorcerers? Nah, I think we're due for another round of witches. Back to zombies, though. Chemists at Doan College in Nebraska are hard at work on a zombie cologne. The idea being, in the event of a zombie apocalypse, you'd be spared because you were shrouded in the foul stench of death. Key ingredients in the cologne are actually chemicals produced by the body after death. Putrescine and cadaverine. Those combined with a little methane help you smell like you just died. Maybe hold the methane in mind.
Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Businesses are always looking for ways to save money, right? Well, a 14-year-old kid from Pennsylvania figured out a way to save that country's biggest business, the U.S. government, millions of dollars a year. This stupid teenager published a study that says the federal government could literally save millions of dollars a year in printing costs by switching to a slightly thinner font that uses less ink. And Incubus frontman Brandon Boyd's been accused of threatening to kill real-world star Svetlana Shusterman. And I mean, let's face it, these accusations are coming from a reality star. They must be legit. It's not like those people are just out for attention or anything. And there's always weird stuff popping up on eBay, but damn, this takes the cake. A British man has put his skin up for auction. Now my questions were, one, why would anybody want that? And two, doesn't he need it? Turns out the guy's a tattoo artist. His skin is covered in markings like a jaguar. And you don't actually get the skin now. The winning bidder claims the skin after the 41-year-old man passes away. The bidding is only at $88. The way I see it, he's about 6 years older than me. By the time I'm about 70 or 80, if I play my cards right, I may have the world's only jaguar print human leather jacket. I think the real challenge will be finding an occasion to wear it.
The Lane Mitchell Show. It's Lane Mitchell. Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
A 30-year-old woman in Texas had $25,000 worth of surgery to make her look like Jennifer Lawrence. Now, I mean, if you're going to go for it, okay. It's weird, but okay. Why Jennifer Lawrence? Also, how weird must that be for Jennifer Lawrence? It's one thing for somebody to come up to you and say, you know, I like your look. Something else entirely to have a surgeon stuff your face full of silicone so you look exactly like them. Oh, what's that, boy? A woman got stuck in a well while having sex. Yeah, her and her partner were getting jiggy with it on a water wheel at a Spanish water park, which suddenly sounded a lot more exotic than our water parks. Anyway, the cover they were on dislodged, and you can imagine where it went from there. She was pulled from the well and treated at a local hospital for symptoms of hypothermia. And did you know that you can tell how smart a guy is just by looking at him? New research from the Czech Republic finds that people are able to accurately assess a man's intelligence just by looking at his face. The interesting thing, they can't do the same with a woman. So what does a smart guy face look like? Broad distance between the eyes, large nose, sharp pointy chin.
It's Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, are you watching Orange is the New Black on Netflix? The book is great too, by the way. Now, there's apparently a soundtrack coming out. Like, to the show, not the book. The soundtrack for the book would probably sound like this. It'll be out May 13th, the same day Season 1 comes out on Blu-ray. And the world's tallest Ferris wheel opens in Las Vegas. The 550-foot high roller, dwarfing the Singapore Flyer, the London Eye, and others. Just below, you'll find the world's largest puddle of vomit. And a Connecticut woman who thought she had a stomach virus was surprised to learn she was pregnant. Now, how did she learn about this little bundle of joy? She gave birth to it in the middle of her driveway. You know, if you gain 30 pounds in 6 months, and that isn't cause for concern, you just may want to take a good hard look at your diet. Just saying. And the late night monologues have had a field day with Obamacare and the web woes citizens there have had trying to enroll online. But my phone hasn't been much better. Earlier this week, people calling to sign up were inadvertently connected to a phone sex line. Which, I mean, if your medical problem is a burning itch in your loins, who knows? Maybe they can still help.
The Lane Mitchell Show Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Did you know that Romans once believed that giraffes were actually hybrids between camels and leopards? I can't help but wonder if people driving those hybrids also walked around with an inflated sense of entitlement. You know, just doing my part to save the environment. And bad news, a semi carrying 180,000 eggs was stolen in Florida. Even worse, the suspect is planning to boil them all up and eat them while sitting next to you in close quarters. Well, either that or the Easter Bunny just needs a little help this year. Hey, little fella. Hey. It doesn't make you any less of a bunny, okay? Yeah, I've been in a similar position. My wife says it happens to a lot of guys. I mean, bunnies. And sunlight can help you lose weight. A new study suggests that people exposed to at least 20 to 30 minutes of bright morning light tend to have a lower body mass index. Researchers attribute it to how light impacts the brain, claiming it affects hormones that regulate appetite. So, while the early bird gets the worm, there's a good chance it's eating less of them.
The Lane Mitchell Show Podcast presents another live Sonic Session performance.
My name's Lane Mitchell. Welcome to the Sonic Listener Lounge. Joining us today, a Brit Award-winning UK band playing a sold-out show tonight at Union Hall. That's Bastille right there. I have a million questions, but it's going to take me a minute to sort of compile them. I want to tell you about something really exciting that happened. Bastille just came to our radio station. So why don't we start with a song while I gather myself here.
Okay.
This is Bad Blood, Bastille.
But how were we to know that these are the days that bind you together forever? And these little things define you forever, forever. All this bad blood here. Resentment grows, we will walk our different ways. But those are the days that bind us together. together forever. And those little things define us forever, forever. All this bad blood here.
Sonic session. You know you don't need to be here. Your show sold out. Thank you so much for doing this. This is incredible.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
How's the tour going, first off?
It's been good.
It's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, we've got some friends of ours from the UK who are in a band called To Kill a King supporting us. And because obviously we're away loads, it's nice to bring a bit of home. But yeah, no, it's been really fun. It's been like our longest excursion into Canada yet.
And what do you think of our country?
It's big.
Very, very big.
It's cold.
Why is it so cold?
I'm hoping I might see a moose by now, but no such luck.
It seems like it takes forever to travel. Like, as a band, you know, who's used to touring the UK and that kind of thing, I would imagine...
The smallest, easiest place in the world.
Yeah. Like, cities are about half an hour apart. It's quite quick.
Your debut album went to number one in the UK. How long were you plugging away at music before you became a... I got to say, air quotes, too, because this goes into the podcast, air quotes, overnight success.
It's funny that how people see things. We sort of started at the end of 2010 properly, but before that, I'd all been doing various different other weird and wonderful day jobs. In hindsight, it feels like stuff's maybe happened quite quickly, but a lot of time and effort and hard work goes into stuff before... You end up in Canada.
Now, what are some of these... you made it! You're in Edmonton!
It was all leading to this one point.
Now, what are some of these weird and wonderful jobs you guys were doing before you set out playing music?
I spent quite a long time packing needles into boxes in an office by myself. That was really fun. But Kyle used to, like, construct stages for festivals. So we did this one festival in the UK called Isle of Wight Festival.
It was a kind of crossover between my old job and the new job. I built the stage that I played on. Wicked.
Like, don't stand in that spot. I was hungover when I built that spot right there. When did you first learn that you wanted to pursue music?
I don't know. I think sort of slightly differently for all of us. Like, I only really realised at uni.
I'm still unsure.
We could use a stage. We'll talk after. Well, thank you again so much for being here. The next song you're going to do for us is one called Flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Bastille, everyone.
Your flaws and all my flaws are laid out one by one. The wonderful parts of the mess we made, we pick ourselves undone. All of your flaws and all my flaws, they lie there hand in hand. The ones we've inherited, ones that we learned, they pass from man to man. There's a hole in my soul. I can't feel it, I can't feel it. And there's a hole in my soul. Can you feel it, can you feel it? You have always worn your flaws upon your sleeve. And I have always buried them deep beneath the ground. Dig them up, let's finish what we started. Dig them up, so nothing's left unturned. All of your flaws and all of my flaws, when they have been exhumed, we'll see that we need them to be who we are. Without them we'd be doomed. There's a hole in my soul. I can't fill it, I can't fill it. And there's a hole in my soul. Can you feel it, can you feel it? You have always worn your flaws upon your sleeve. And I have always buried them deep beneath the ground. Dig them up, let's finish what we started. Dig them up, so nothing's left unturned. My flaws are counted. When all of your flaws and all of my flaws are counted. You have always worn your flaws upon your sleeve. And I have always buried them deep beneath the ground. Take them out, let's finish what we started. Dig them out, so nothing's left unturned. Oh, 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 oh. All of your flaws and all of my flaws are laid out one by one. Look at the wonderful mess that we made. We pick ourselves under.
It's a Bastille Sonic session. Flaws. Love that track. By the way, congratulations on winning a Brit Award.
Thank you.
I was reading today, last year, you guys only had one seat at the Brits, and this year, not only you performed, nominated for four. You could have sat up on stage if you asked.
No, it was funny, and a nice indication of the intent that our record label had for us. We'll give you one seat, see what happens.
Did you all share it?
No, we were on tour in Europe, and I was sort of sent. It was weird to be there last year, and it was such a just. It's kind of before. Before stuff had really started happening properly, like on the, you know, we as a band, like we've been lucky from the beginning. We've always had people find our music online and come to our shows, and that's so. As things have grown, it's just got a bit more ridiculous with the scale of it. But last year when we did the Brits, we had that, and people were coming to our shows, and we were playing places bigger than we ever imagined. But we didn't think it would be on that weird, like Brit, super mainstream level. We just didn't. It never crossed our mind. So it was nice to go back and be able to sort of. Be on a table together and get drunk backstage and
do it right.
Exactly, yeah. Responsibly, obviously. Mm.
Your EP was called Laura Palmer. I read that and I was like, Twin Peaks fans? I'm like, no, it can't be that. But you're actually, you're a big David Lynch fan. You actually remixed one of his songs, I understand.
Yeah, we did. Which was, obviously Twin Peaks was a bit before our time, but I watched it on DVD and I'm obsessed with all of his films. And we did this remix. Which I was like handing in coursework or something when we sent it over. I was terrified that he'd hate it because I, sing all over it. So I basically crowbarred myself into a David Lynch song. I was like, you don't want a duet? Well, you are now. We sent it over, and then, yeah, he really liked it. And actually, when we were in LA last year in the summer, and he kind of invited me over to his house for a cup of coffee, which was pretty mind-blowing and mad. But yeah, no, they liked the remix. And so, yeah, I've managed to force him into a duet with me.
Well, Dan, you're a big film guy, I understand.
I like films. Yeah.
Well, what's tickling your film fancy lately?
I don't know. I mean, that's a bit of best. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of, because we're on tour the whole time, I don't actually get to see a huge amount of stuff, but we had a little film excursion and saw that, we went off into two groups. One half saw Noah, and the other half saw the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Noah's weird.
Yeah.
Did you feel compelled to get like two drinks and two popcorns and like, two M&Ms?
That's pretty a joke.
The next song you're going to play for us is one you may just recognize from the radio. We may have played it once or twice. Pompeii. Bastille, Sonic Second.
Settled around us, and the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Would we begin the rubble or our sins? Would we begin the rubble or our sins? And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you closed your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How am I gonna be an optimist about this? How am I gonna be an optimist about this if you close your eyes? Does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Band initially had a couple other musicians, violin and cello. What was it about this current complement of instrumentation that just kind of worked?
I think when we first started, because a lot of the music sort of started in a bedroom or in a studio, and so we were quite ambitious with the sound, I think, in terms of not something that four people can physically play. So there were quite a lot of, there were quite a lot of strings and stuff. And so at the beginning, we had two of our friends who kind of still play with us now, playing strings, and just the logistics of having two proper musicians and trying to get six people in a car to go to gigs and stuff. It was like, I think it was a bit overly ambitious.
They had better things to do, really.
Yeah, they had paying work. But yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know what it is, really. I think I guess since Bastille began, it's been the four of us, and it's been nice that it's been like that.
There are a lot of sort of synths and that kind of thing in your music, and it is electronic. I guess I wonder how these songs were born. Were they born on an acoustic guitar, a piano, an acoustic piano?
Well, when I was growing up, I kind of wrote a bit on piano, but this album kind of came about from when I stopped recording on the little 12-track that I had and started recording on my laptop. And I realised that you can kind of, out of GarageBand or whatever, you can get whatever you want, pretty much, or a slightly dodgy version of whatever you want. and that's kind of when the Bastille songs sort of started being what they were, and just from lots of layering up of vocals, and the sound just kind of grew and grew and grew.
The last song you played for us, Pompeii, I'm not much of a lyrics guy, but I understand it's about volcanic eruption sort of leveled a city and a couple of statues, sort of the dialogue that ensues between those two. It's such a bumpin' happy song, though.
we get to go around the world and play, sit at festivals, see, people jumping around with massive smiles on their faces singing about two dead people, which is it's not something that I think many bands can say. But I don't know, I think it's the nice thing about pop music is that you can make something really depressing sound really happy.
Now, you guys have been known for performing some unlikely covers, songs that a lot of people might not expect. It makes me wonder what you guys listen to when you're at home or...
Weirdly enough, my man over there is wearing a Death From Above 1979 t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of them.
Such a ridiculously eclectic taste. Like, ever wants to play the harmonica and listen to the blues.
Which is fun for us.
Yeah. If only they made a silent harmonica.
Do you guys jam a lot of covers in private? I mean, when you're...
We're not a jamming band.
A lot of the covers are kind of, when we first started out as a band, we only had six songs that we could play live, and on the rare occasion when we got asked to do an encore, we used to roll out a cover of What Would You Do by City High, because it's one of those songs that I think everyone knows, but no one knows who it's by. So we used to play it at gigs, and the last thing in the world people would expect is for like scrawny white guys from London rolling out a cover of What Would You Do, but by the chorus everyone is singing along. And it's just one of those songs. And then we did these mixtapes called Other People's Heartache and Other People's Heartache Part 2, which just kind of fused music from movies that we love and film quotes and soundtracks and obscure songs like Hadaway's What Is Love, a cover of that. You know, like just songs that people know but maybe would not expect to come out of our mouths. Yeah. We did a Miley Cyrus cover for Radio 1 in the UK. And now it's because that's seemingly become our most popular song, which is mildly depressing. But play Miley! No! not performing Monkey. But yeah.
Any special surprises in store for tonight's show that you want to tease with our web audience?
The bar's giving out free beer all night. Tell them I said so.
Well, again, thank you so much for being here. I know better than to ask for another song. As it was, we asked for an inch. They gave us a mile and a half. So, yeah, Bastille, everyone.
The Lane Mitchell Show. Mitchell Show. Podcast. Yeah. Like what you're hearing? Check out the Garner Andrews Show to Go podcast at sonic1029.com.